Hello, everybody, and welcome back to another episode of Vegan Protein's Muscles by Brussels Radio. My name is Danny.
And this is Giacomo.
And this is our 56th episode. Hey, guys, this is Danny from the future again, and we have bad news that the microphone seemed to be fixed, but we think something is interfering with it, causing that wah-wah sound in the background. We appreciate you guys. We will have this fixed by the next podcast.
Welcome back, everybody. This is going to be a pretty cool one. I wonder how everyone's doing right now. I mean, it seems like we all have our different ways of coping with this lifestyle change. You know, I would imagine for some it feels good, for some it feels awful. And we all just, I don't know, just like all kinds of crazy things happening right now where people are basically forced out of their usual routines and not able to be in their environments that they've designed for themselves. It's kind of entertaining in some ways. And in other ways, it's also a little alarming, you know, just seeing how, you know, people are getting through this time, being like, it's all right, it's fine, this is the way we live now, you know?
Yeah, I would say we're about, here in Massachusetts, I want to say we're like 8 weeks in, maybe 9 weeks in to the lockdowns. And Massachusetts is one of the states that's being hit very, very hard. So as of today, it is May 15th, and there are states around the country that are beginning to open back up, but, you know, we don't necessarily think that's the smartest thing. I understand why it's happening, but I still don't think it's the smartest thing. But I don't think Massachusetts is actually going to start opening up anytime soon, although supposedly it's May 18th we're going to start opening up. But I have a feeling this afternoon the governor is going to get on a live and be like, oh, by the way, it's actually another month. Because I think if he actually says July, like LA County just did, I think the people will riot. So I think he's just like getting it out in little spurts. Like, just a few more days. But yeah, I do think people are, you know, I think most people are suffering through this in to some degree or another. And our lifestyle is actually not that different in quarantine than it was before this. I think the biggest difference for Giacomo and I is we're not going to the gym, and we go to the grocery store once every other week instead of every week. I mean, there are little things like people that we see a couple times a month that we're not able to see in person, but it's not a huge, huge change for Giacomo and myself. But for a lot of people, it is a huge change. And even for us, with it not being a huge change, you know, 9 weeks in, it's wearing on us as well.
Somewhat. I mean, you always joke that like this is what life was supposed to be because you're kind of a shut-in hermit by nature.
No.
And I mean, every dynamic, right, you sort of compromise for each other, and that's how the relationship works. And for me, I feel like we live a little more of that shut-in life, but also we kind of need to be in self-employed because we're constantly on our screens working. But I will say I do miss the traveling, because that was how I got my social fill. And those times where we were able to go out and, you know, even if we weren't necessarily engaging with others directly, just being out in public, sitting down at a restaurant, just something like that to get out and about. I do, in fact, miss that stuff. But the part, I think, that gets to me that I wonder, you know, if others can relate, and I know they have because I've spoken to others who have felt similarly, is it's not like you necessarily need to do something frequently. It's the fact that you can't. So in other words, just the thought that you couldn't have date night on Saturday at a restaurant as opposed to, you know, being at home. You couldn't go somewhere and travel for vacation. You have to take a staycation. Just like that, literally knowing that you can't do something, for me, that's the anxiety. And I feel like that's where it can become problematic across the board.
That sounds a lot like rigid dieting versus flexible dieting, actually. Like when you say I can't have a cookie, then you want a cookie 10 times more. That's literally what we're seeing all across at least the country. I can't speak for the rest of the world, but we're seeing it across the country. People are told they can't do something, or people are being told they have to do something like wear a mask, and they're like, I will not wear a mask. It's like, oh, okay, all right. Anyway, from a coaching perspective, this has been actually quite challenging because everybody's fitness routine had to change, and everybody's fitness routine had to change all at once. And a lot of people's nutrition had to change, at least for a while. I mean, stores were just out of stuff that was normally there. People couldn't get access to their regular food. Not that any, at least not any of my clients were going hungry or anything like that, but things changed. Things shifted quite a bit for a lot of people, and it caused a lot of stress for all kinds of my clients. I mean, it definitely caused a lot of stress for me when suddenly I was like, I have to redo this many people's nutrition and training program, like, immediately. Because also, everybody was feeling so lost and directionless for a minute there that, you know, I wanted to get stuff out to them as quickly as humanly possible to help give them some sense of control. But now, you know, I think the madness of sorting through this is behind us. And at least while that was happening, it felt like things were evolving. You know, not always in a good direction. For a while there, it was getting really, really bad. And it may do that again, but I would say for the last month or so, maybe even longer than that at this point, it's just kind of been like Groundhog's Day for most people, where you're just repeating the same day, day in, day out. You don't even remember what day it is. And it is draining in a whole new way.
Yep. And just like we didn't get into this madness out of nowhere and overnight, you know, we sort of settled into this new way of living. I will say that I feel like when things eventually do become normal again,
and whatever that means, because it's going to be different.
Exactly. And we're free to pretty much get back to doing whatever we want and gather with the masses, etc., etc. I do feel pretty strongly about the fact that we're not going to be the same creatures right away, because it took a while to get into this routine. So once the doors open and we, you know, we're able to become unhinged and get back to our old self, I don't think it's going to happen right away. And I'm really curious to know how people are going to get through. Not to be going too far ahead over here, but I think that's going to be a whole nother phase for us.
Well, I think everybody's wondering what's going to happen, and you know, it's fun and interesting to speculate, but I don't want to do too much of that, because I don't want to make it sound like we have some knowledge of what's going to happen, because nobody does. That's, you know, that's what I'm getting at here. But it got me to thinking, last week I made this post. It was just an Instagram post about how, you know, even for fitness professionals, we're not always motivated to go do the things that we are supposed to do. I'm not always motivated to train. In fact, lately, especially given the circumstances, I feel like I'm not motivated to train at all, but I still do it because of discipline. And basically the whole post was about how motivation is bullshit and discipline is everything. And a lot of people either really resonated with that, where they felt like, you know, that's how they approach the world as well, or a lot of people said they just needed to hear that right now. So I figured we could talk a little bit about that today.
For sure. And I like that you and I are very different. We're pretty divided here, I would say. So it's going to be two unique perspectives. You know, when it comes to Danny's approach, Danny seems to rely more heavily right out the gate on her patterns and being as efficient as possible with her systems. And that's how she gauges progress. She sees things happen over time and she's like, all right, I'm doing the thing, you know, and it feels good for her and it feels right. For me, usually I get motivated and I just feel naturally motivated and inspired right out the gate. And not that I rely on motivation to keep going long term. However, it does come and go in waves for me, and it does seem to be a catalyst for me to be able to up the intensity. But now we're in a situation where so much has changed that it's not really possible for just about anyone to be motivated. It would be unreasonable and irrational. So put it this way. You know, you heard a little bit about what was going on in our personal lives on the last podcast, on episode 55. And, you know, I was really convinced that once a lot of my time freed up And I was able to get back to the way that my old life was designed because we had resources here, right? We have our own gym, fortunately, and this and that. That I would just be motivated, be like, yeah, kick ass. I'm going to get back to doing things the way that I used to be doing them. And right away, I quickly realized that there was just nothing. There was nothing in the tank whatsoever. And I'm like, fuck, what do I do now? And then I started thinking about the past 8 years and how this has been an ongoing battle for me for most of my life, like just finding a way to be consistent for the long term. Because consistency is how you really get the physique you're looking for. And I said to myself, oh, I feel pressure now. Like, I've been doing this thing for 8 years and I just don't feel like doing it. Not that I don't feel like doing it today, but like for the rest of the week, for the rest of the month, for the next 6 months, what the hell am I gonna do now?
You just don't have motivation. It's really hard for people to rally right now. You know, what do people usually do when they're just like not in the mood to go to the gym? They like listen to some music on the drive to the gym, they pump it up, they maybe take a pre-workout, they psych themselves up in some way. And I just feel like people are just aren't in that place where they even have the motivation to psych themselves up. On one hand, that's okay. You know, I feel like we sometimes might come off like we're too easy on people. You know, we're too like, oh, if you're not feeling it, that's okay. If you forgive yourself, be kind to yourself. And that's all true. We really, really do believe that. And we find that most athletes are the total opposite of that. They're like too hard on themselves all the time. And that's one of the reasons that we talk about this so much, is that that type of mentality doesn't get you anywhere. But we're also kind of no-nonsense. We're not like into excuses, and not for our client. I mean, yes, for our clients as well, but for ourselves. Like, just because we're not feeling motivated doesn't mean we're not going to do it. Even if you're like literally dragging your feet over to your workout, you know, you get it done because it matters to you. For whatever reason, it matters to you. And, you know, this doesn't even have to just be applied to working out. It can be applied to your nutrition. I mean, it can be applied to your job. It can be applied to your relationships. It can be applied to making your damn bed every morning. It can be applied to a lot of things. You don't always want to do the hard thing, but you dig deep and find the discipline to do that. And there comes a point, I feel like, where you can't rationalize with yourself anymore. You can't keep going back and forth, well, I'll just move today's training to tomorrow because I'm just not really feeling it today, and then maybe tomorrow I'll feel it. Like, you can get away with that sort of mentality from time to time, but if you keep coming up with reasons why you can't do something, eventually you need to just start to be a bit tougher with yourself and be like, you're making excuses to yourself. You're lying to yourself. Either you can do this thing or it was never that important to you in the first place. And, you know, sometimes you have to come to that conclusion as well. Like, actually, right now, this is not the most important thing. And that's literally what we did when the kids were here. You know, we could have not paid attention to them and, you know, gotten our workouts in. That probably would be some kind of neglect. But, I mean, I suppose we could have gotten those workouts in if we had just pushed it a little bit harder. But at that moment, it just was not the most important thing. And right now, maybe during this quarantine, keeping your physique, keeping up your fitness, it is not the most important thing to you. Maybe you're dealing with something much harder. But I think a lot of people are just sitting at home bored. And they probably could do this if they just force themselves through the uncomfortable thing for a few days. It would start to be more routine for them.
And that's the thing. I feel like I'm speaking to a decent chunk of our audience here, because when it comes to the bodybuilder types and the types that are going to dial in their nutrition and learn the skill of tracking and all that jazz, we tend to be a little more on the type A side of things, where we like structure and we like to control a lot of the variables. Well, there's pros and there's cons to that. I mean, play to your strengths. However, be aware of your challenges. Now, if you're the type of person that likes everything just so, and you like your life designed in such a way, and that's non-negotiable, and it works for you, and all of a sudden something has changed that is out of your control through no fault of your own, it's not like you can work on yourself and change it. You just have to accept the change. But I feel like you can wind up getting trapped in the ways of old, in like the old plan. It's like, if I could just get back to that old plan, I'll be back to that old plan soon enough. Or like, I just have to scramble and make a new perfect plan as soon as possible. And I'm not even necessarily speaking about perfectionism. I'm just talking about like the need to create structure and order and plan everything when there are so many things that have changed. What we wound up doing, to touch upon a little bit about what Danny was saying earlier in the podcast, we helped our clients, we worked with them as we all sorted through the madness. And I found that some individuals had a really hard time with it because they were stuck just scrambling, trying to plan. Others just accepted things for what they were and became a little lost. But I think there's a happy medium where you can accept what's going on and you can slowly but surely let the plan come to you and start and hold on to some things, you know? Like, for example, when I had to make a choice and change my priorities, I didn't throw my health and fitness completely out the window. I made a pact with myself that every single day I was going to eat a vegetable. Every single day I was going to eat a piece of fruit, as silly as that sounds. Every single day I was going to move my body. Maybe I wasn't able to get in my 5 days a week, an hour a day of training the way I wanted to and how I wanted to. But you better believe, one way or another, whether it was walking around with the kids, whether it was getting outside with the dogs and going for a walk, and whatever it was, I was going to find a way to move my body and to put something good in my body every single day. So, and then eventually I was able to build from there.
I also had those types of non-negotiables through that. But I feel like, one, what we went through there was a pretty unique experience. But I feel like that sort of fumbling through and finding your new routine was to be expected when this first started. I think every single individual in the entire world felt like they were stumbling around in the dark, trying to figure out what to do next, including how you were going to get your exercise, how you were going to eat right. But now we're over 2 months in, and I don't want to say there's no end in sight. There is a light at the end of this tunnel. It's one of my clients said this week, there's a light at the end of the tunnel. It's just a really long tunnel. So now we have to stop using the fact that we're on lockdown as a kind of excuse to concede. That is how I feel. Adversity, challenges, they make us stronger and they give us an opportunity to adapt. This is the time to adapt. And the people who do adapt are just gonna fare so much better when all of this is over and they'll be able to look back. And even if things do go back to normal, which I don't think they 100% will go back to normal, but when they get closer to normal, you'll still be able to look back and be like, wow, I went through that and I actually kind of handled that challenge pretty well. You're not gonna handle it like a boss every day, and it would be unrealistic to expect somebody to knock it out of the park every day. But being in this lockdown, doing home workouts, having to, you know, make your groceries stretch for sometimes weeks, and you know, you're out of fresh produce at the end of 2 weeks, doesn't have to be a concession. It's only a concession if you let it be a concession. You can bring your discipline to the way you feed yourself. You can bring the intensity to your home workouts, even if you just have a couple of exercise bands, or even if you just have your body weight. Is it a totally different style workout? Yup, but you can still bring the intensity to it and get something out of it. You might not come out of this with bigger muscles, you know, because a lot of people don't have a lot of resistance that they can add, but you could come out of this with much better cardiovascular fitness, endurance, agility. Even if you don't have any equipment at all, you can still come out of this with certain health and fitness improvements if you are willing to adapt.
Right. And it's more than just looking back and reflecting and saying, what did you do during quarantine after the fact? It's that, you know, you come out of this with a new set of skills. And I don't mean like you learned a new language or you're, you know,
baking sourdough bread every single day.
Oh, no, you should come out of this quarantine with that. Please. By all means.
I have made so much sourdough bread, guys.
When I say coming out of this with a new skill, I mean learning from this. I mean growing from this. I mean showing yourself just how tenacious you can be and how adaptable you are. And, you know, in some ways we'll look back and we'll recognize the privileges that we had. You know, I think if nothing else, what this is showing us right now is the, you know, the kind of privileges that we had before the fact. Mm-hmm. And I think it makes you just appreciate things afterwards. and it shows you that you're stronger than you realize, and you wind up with like a new, you know, I don't want to say a new mindset, but you wind up with a different set of lenses, and you wind up being able to just see things that you would have taken seriously or that would have screwed with you for longer periods of time, not in the same vein. At least that's what I'm thinking. That's what I'm hoping we will get out of this after the fact, that we'll be able to basically see life differently and be able to handle all kinds of stresses, or that big things that were perceived as big stresses weren't really as big after the fact because of what we went through as a society.
I roll my eyes at some of the fitness inspo that I see, all these cheesy quotes about, you know, if you don't come out of this with a six pack, you're a waste of human space and you squandered this time. Like, that stuff makes me roll my eyes as well. I think it's bullshit. I think it's really reductionist. I think it is way too much black and white thinking. So please don't think that we're trying to, you know, paint this in that kind of a light. But there is some truth to trying to find the areas of opportunity in this upsetting situation. This is a really terrible situation on an individual level, on a global level. This is bad, and you have every right to sit there and feel like this is bad and, you know, mourn the loss of life all over the world, mourn the loss of whatever it is that you have lost in this time, because everybody has lost something. But there are also opportunities around you to level up in some way. And if you don't feel like you're in a place to take those opportunities, don't beat yourself up about it. But if you have the wherewithal to realize that you might just be making excuses to yourself on a regular basis, it might be time to face that and decide if you want to find the discipline to do the hard thing.
Yeah. Once you become aware of any potential excuses that you may be making for yourself, because no human is 100% machine-like all the time. I don't care how long you've been doing this for. I don't care how confident you are in reestablishing a routine. I don't care who you are. We're all going to have our moments where we make excuses for ourselves, and then we need to become aware of it, and then over time we can make a change. And honestly, the answer is not necessarily going to be clear-cut on what exactly it is that you need to do to get out of your head. This is where the fun begins. You know, while we're a little bit lost in our own head and we start to say, all right, well, how am I going to start to let this change of plans come to me? Like, what am I going to do? How am I going to run through this and let this course run out until, you know, things get back to once again normal? And I think for everybody, it is going to be different. You know, some suggestions I would have would be, you know, if there is a way to, I mean, some people don't have the ability to, so, and I want to be sensitive to that, but if there is a way to somehow walk, be outdoors or walk in a way that is safe, do that, you know, even in yeah, because some people are in studios, but other things you can do, maybe you can get out pen and paper, good old fashioned way, and just start journaling and get out of your head, because some people may not even have a quarantine buddy, you know what I mean? But there's got to be something that you can do, basically, you know, maybe take a look at the hands and the clock, as ridiculous as this sounds, and just set arbitrary times throughout the day that you're going to do something else to shift your body from point A to point B, to shift your mindset from point A to point B, whether it's I'm going to eat breakfast at 8, lunch at 12, dinner at 6, I'm going to do something that involves me getting off of my chair or getting out of bed, you know, at 10 a.m. and 3 p.m., you know, like put the hands on the clock at certain times of the day and commit to doing things at certain times of the day. So these are some of the many examples that you can do basically to work on changing your patterns once your excuses expose themselves.
I actually made a YouTube video probably like a month ago now about 10 or 11, I can't remember, ways that you can regain some sense of self-control. When life feels out of control, how you can gain some sense of control back. And the very first one is create a routine, which is essentially what Giacomo was saying. Create a schedule for yourself. I know that we started working from home. Well, Giacomo started working from home before I did, but I started working from home probably 8 or 9 years ago now. And it took me probably 3 maybe years to really nail down any semblance of a schedule that worked for me. So it was just chaos until then. And now people all over the world are trying to work from home. And I feel like hopefully now people are kind of settling into a routine there, but it is, you know, to be told, okay, suddenly you just need to learn how to do your job from home. Holy stressful. I can't even imagine. Oh, and by the way, you need to teach your kids because there's no school. Oh my God. One of the other pieces of advice I give to some of my clients when they're just not feeling it, they're not feeling their workouts, so they don't do them. I say, promise me that you will do the first exercise in your workout. Just do the first exercise. And most of the time, if they do the first exercise, they do the whole workout. This is a trick I've used on myself for years. It's like, well, when the gyms were open, it was, okay, I'm going to go to the gym. I'm going to walk into the gym. And if I want to leave, I can leave. I never left. It was the hardest part was just getting there. And once I got in the door, I always did my workout. It's a little bit harder now that everybody's at home. So I kind of shifted that to just do your first exercise. And if you want to stop, you can stop. And people almost never do. So you can do those little tiny things to sort of trick yourself into doing the thing you ultimately want to do, which in this case is work out, when you otherwise don't feel like it. And these little tricks, they work for all kinds of things, really. Like, oh, I can have dessert if I eat X amount of vegetables first. You know, if you make sure you get the most nutritious foods in first, you're probably going to eat less of the less nutritious foods later. So many little tricks. And these little tricks might sound trivial, but if my statement holds true that motivation is bullshit and discipline is everything, motivation, willpower, all of that is highly, highly overrated. And you need to find different systems to rely on, because both motivation and willpower, they will fail you at some point. And you're gonna need systems, actual systems to fall back on.
Oh yeah. And that's actually reminded me of the video that I just put out on something that I rely on, keeping stats on yourself. Mining data on yourself is what it is, basically. And, you know, in some ways it's time consuming, and it's like, do you really want to spend your time doing that? Sometimes you can, sometimes you can't. But I do think that it is important to collect data on yourself, because you can be your own science experiment, but until you're aware of what the variables are, you don't have the ability to control them, manipulate them, and change them over the course of time. And also, it's a good thing to have as a foundation so that you can know thyself. You know, Danny was saying, what were you saying? Like, took you like, what, the first 2-3 years?
At least, yeah.
At least.
And it's still ever evolving, my schedule.
And that was my point.
Yep.
You know, because we are ever evolving, and, you know, life doesn't fit into a box, and we change. And when we change, it's safe to say that some old patterns will still be around. And when you're very aware of what's worked for you consistently over time, whether you've done it in a controlled manner or it's happened organically, you can reflect back on what you've done, whether it's the days of the week that you tend to train, the time that you tend to train, the foods that you like to eat, the things that you like to do outside of your workouts, you know what I mean? Like active recovery, stuff like that's good for your mindset, like meditation, et cetera, et cetera. So I do think it's important to keep info on yourself, basically, and have it as something to look back at and be like, wait, I've been here before, and maybe the scenario is different, but I still know myself. And I'm able to get through this.
So I don't feel like we need to, you know, beat this to death with you guys or anything. We feel like the people who listen to this podcast, the people who are turning on Muscles by Brussels Radio right now, we think you are capable of a lot. You're capable of really great things. You obviously have the best of intentions with your mindset, with your training, with your nutrition, or you wouldn't be listening to this kind of a podcast right now. You'd be watching The Office again and again on the couch. But you're not. You're listening to this. So we think that, basically, we just think you guys are awesome, and we think that if anybody is in a position to probably take a good hard look at themselves and level up, it's you guys. So we wanted to share that with you. Also, we wanted to share with you that we have opened up the Vegan Proteins Academy, which is basically a membership to our community of athletes. It also gets you monthly workouts, which of course right now are designed to be at home, and that will probably change in the future where we will have a gym version again as well once gyms start to open up. You also get access to all of the recipes on our site, our meal planner tool, which is super, super cool. You can drag and drop recipes and foods into a meal planner. And not only do you then have that laid out for the week, but it'll also generate shopping lists for you. We have macro calculation tools. We do live Zoom calls once a month. So yeah, we just wanted to let you know about that academy. We have had it for a while, but we've actually never really talked about it before. So figured we would bring it up now when people may be searching for some community and accountability and some direction. We give you the exact workouts with video demonstrations, and you can upload your progress and track it in there as you see fit in the app. Okay, moving on to our question and answer segment today. We actually put a question sticker out on Instagram. We gave people zero time to come up with questions, but we did get a couple questions in the last half an hour. So this one is for you, Giacomo. Have you ever experienced bellyache or bloating from eating Vital Wheat gluten? If so, do you cut it out or do you just wait to see if your body adjusts? Love you guys. And this is from Miss Fit on Instagram, and she is an awesome bikini competitor.
Yeah, it's good to hear from you, Miss Fit, and thank you for this question. I feel like this one is one that comes up pretty regularly, so I'm glad that we are addressing it, and there are some valid concerns there. So the first thing that I think needs to be said is that when it comes to gluten, it is a type of food that most people are scared of and that people think is a common allergen.
It is a common allergen. It's just not anywhere near as common as society leads us to believe it is in 2020.
Correct. I think it's just one of those things that just catch on like wildfire when it comes to nutrition theory. You know, like, oh, carbs are bad, fats are bad, sugar is bad, or whatever, like stuff like that. And I think at one point or another, for some reason, we just got on a kick as a society saying that things needed to be gluten-free. I don't pretend to understand why these trends happen when it comes to placing fear on foods. The only thing I could think of is that it's just a way to sell new products. Things are gluten-free. We can make new products. We can charge more money for them. Yay. All right. So deconstructed all that for the moment. Sorry for the side rant. Basically, there are some individuals who have celiac disease, but it is a lot more rare than most people realize. I mean, we're talking like a very, very small percentage of people.
And it's very, very dangerous.
Yeah.
If your food is even, if you have celiac disease and your food is even cross-contaminated in a kitchen or somewhere, you will get sick. It's a very scary disease. It's not the gluten intolerant that we hear about a lot these days.
Point is, you would have found out about it without consuming Vital Wheat gluten. So that being said, if you're not used to consuming Vital Wheat gluten like seitan or products that contain it on the regular, I do think that some people are able to digest it a little better than others in large amounts, but I wouldn't necessarily call it an intolerance. I would just say that some individuals just have, you know, for whatever reason, they're just able to tolerate larger amounts of it. But I do think that the majority of people can easily get in anywhere from like upwards of 50 to 70 grams worth of protein in the form of gluten comfortably. Maybe that number is a little high, but my point is, like anything else, your gut is used to breaking down what you feed it. And when you eat a certain way for a long period of time, I don't care how it is that you eat, but when you eat a certain way for a long period of time, your body will adapt to eating those foods. Also, your gut might not necessarily be healthy. I mean, maybe you're consuming like artificial sweeteners in heavy dosages for a long period of time, and now your gut is kind of screwy. So whether your gut needs restoring or whether it's used to eating a certain amount of foods and you introduce something new, it's going to be sensitive to that. It doesn't matter if it's vegetables, it doesn't matter if it's gluten, it doesn't matter if it's corn or apples, like whatever it is, when you have something that you don't normally have, even if it's something healthy, your body is going to take a little bit of time to adapt to it, and it'll be a little sensitive to it. And I think that's what most people are experiencing, but they just chalk it up to gluten and are like, I'm scared of this food, I don't digest it well, I'm gluten intolerant.
Well, like you just said, when you don't eat gluten, so a lot of people do this like gluten-free trial, right? People are like, well, I'm just going to try going gluten-free, and they won't eat gluten for 6 months or something. And then when they have gluten again, they're like, whoa, Nelly, that was really intense. But there's colonies of bacteria in our guts, right? And certain bacteria feed on certain foods, yada, yada, yada. If you don't have gluten, this is a super duper oversimplification, but let's put it this way. Let's say there's specific bacteria in your gut that thrive on gluten, and then you don't eat gluten for 6 months and that bacteria dies off. Now you eat gluten for the first time in a long time. There's nothing there to digest it. So it just might sit there like a rock and make you feel uncomfortable. Again, this is a massive oversimplification, but it kind of gives you an idea of how avoiding something for a long time can actually make you more sensitive to it. So that is my suggestion there. So that's what I have to say about that. But as far as like actual bloating, I think different people respond to different foods differently, right? I mean, I've known people who bloat when they eat any protein powder whatsoever. I've seen people bloat if they eat broccoli. I've seen people bloat from gluten. I've seen people get bloated from tofu. I've seen people get bloated from apples, like Giacomo just said, which sounds really weird, but I mean, everybody responds a little bit differently. So what I would recommend if you're going through this is, you know, you can try with very small amounts and kind of build your way up to see if you can tolerate it after a while. For some of my clients at the end of a prep, people's guts are pretty wrecked at the end of a prep because they haven't had some foods for so long that, again, they can't digest it well. So we'll start with small amounts and build ourselves back up until they can digest it. So you could try that with the Vital Wheat Gluten. But if after a while it just doesn't agree with you, then it just doesn't agree with you and you don't have to eat it. So thanks for that question. It was a really good one. I don't think we've dived that deep into a question in a long time.
Next question from GoEasyLif09 on the IGs. Hey, Vegan Proteins. How is your diet coming along?
So, somebody asked me how my diet is. Giacomo and I were just talking about this morning. I wouldn't say, first of all, I'm not dieting. So, I'm not trying to lose weight. I'm just trying to, like, maintain where I am and get stronger again. But I'm actually not tracking my food. And I haven't been tracking my food for a long time. Like, a long time now. I think I tracked my food for a few weeks at the beginning of the year, and I did track for a while before the kids came, and then while they were here, there were a couple weeks that I did track in there as well, just to as like an audit to make sure I was doing okay, which I mentioned on the last podcast when the kids were here, I lost 10 pounds just from not eating. But don't worry, I've put 5 of that back on since they're no longer here all the time. But yeah, I've been eating intuitively. Other than that period where I was apparently dramatically under eating, I've been maintaining my off-season weight just fine. My off-season weight is right around 140, and that's where I live, and that's where my body is happiest, and I'm able to do that without having to think very much about what I'm eating anymore. But I don't just like to think of it as intuitive eating. Like, yes, sometimes I want to my intuition says I want a cookie, and I have the cookie. But because I have so much history of tracking and writing meal plans and knowledge of portion sizes, it's like riding a bike. You can't unlearn that. So even without plugging everything into my Fitness Pal, I always have a rough idea where I'm at. So it's what I've talked to my clients about before. I call it intelligent intuitive eating. It's the things that you know, like, you know, getting a certain amount of protein X number of times a day, or eating plenty of fruits and vegetables, drinking lots of water, and knowing your portion sizes, basically what they look like, that has basically allowed me to maintain my off-season weight just fine. If I wanted to, I think I could probably even cut a little bit without tracking, just because I don't want to right now. But if I wanted to, I think I could for a while. Simply because I've been practicing it for so long at this point.
Yeah, and then you could do what I do, or I should say what I've been doing, where I'm intelligently, intuitively eating while also being a little bit of an asshole about it. And I don't necessarily mean eating unhealthy. I mean deliberately overeating and maybe sometimes sneaking some fun foods in because I know I'll eat even when I'm not hungry. And the reason being is because I'm in a gaining phase. So
yeah, that's totally. I mean, that's not like an asshole. That's exactly what you should be doing, is deliberately overeating to gain.
I mean, I feel like I'm being an asshole when it's 9 o'clock at night and then I'm, you know, like I'm four or five cookies and you know, piece of toast with some peanut butter on it later, but I also know that that's literally what I need to be doing if I want to put on some more weight. From
yeah, Giacomo's the type of person that if he doesn't do that, he'll just drop weight like crazy if he doesn't eat really dense foods, whereas I'm not like that, which is why when I did lose 10 pounds recently without realizing it, that's why that was so weird. That has not happened to me ever in my life until that point. So,
but you know, then there's also those periods of time where you have to be like, okay, the gaining needs to stop, or if you continue on that habit and you don't reel it in, you wind up gaining more than you would have liked to. So, you know, it really truly does boil down to balance and knowing when to slow things down or speed things up.
Yeah, so the answer is that I am intuitively eating, and I'm pretty happy with that right now, because I feel like I'm checking all my boxes by the end of the day, probably 80% of the time. And the other 20, it's not too, too far off. So, yeah, it's going well.
All right, everybody. Thank you for tuning in to another episode of Vegan Proteins Muscles by Brussels Radio. Feel free to stay in touch with us on the social medias. You can catch us on Facebook, on the IGs, at Vegan Proteins, and at Muscles by Brussels. You can drop us an email. Just hit the contact button on veganproteins.com. Shoot us your questions. Stay in touch. Let us know what you want us to talk about. Other than that, my name is Giacomo.
And I'm Danny.
And we'll see you soon.